So that's how my buddy's buddy ended up proposing to a we'll call her a lady of the streets.
Oh.
True story.
Wow.
Must have cost a pretty penny.
True stories are better than your made-up.
I know. I need to use more of those.
A little bit of pretty woman acting.
Exactly. I don't know how pretty she was.
Or how woman she was. Anyway.
ZGP Power Hour number 164 today.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about some things, some stuff, as always. T-Spain, what's today's subject?
Today we're talking about bolt-ons.
Bolt-ons.
I like the subject.
I like the subject, too. All right, before we get into that, though, feature product for today. Normally, I always try and bring a ZGP product up here, but these are pretty cool. Hitting the website next week. We got some XDI injectors for the good old LTG.
Not your first bolt-on.
Not your first bolt-on. Yeah. No, you don't need these first.
First one, yeah.
But these are an advertised 50% over stock at 1 bar, 35% over at 2 bar. Pretty awesome. You know, direct injection is tough. It's really hard to get good aftermarket direct injectors.
Replacement injectors.
Yes, higher flow. But yeah, these will be hitting the website. They are a pretty penny, but they do work. Matt tested them out. They flow exactly what they advertise to. So if you don't want to go port injection, which is what you should do, because
benefits.
I'm a huge fan of port injection. I mean, that's definitely one of the bolt-ons I'm sure we'll talk about later, but is a very beneficial one. You know, the direct injected engines have a problem with valve coking.
Yep.
And that is because instead of a port injection engine spraying the fuel into the intake track and it flowing across the intake valve, that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
it goes directly into the cylinder.
Yeah, so as the intake valve is opening and that carbon and whatnot is in the cylinders, you know, it kind of makes it back up into the intake and gets basically like melts itself onto the backside of the intake valve.
Yeah, and if you ever have the intake manifold off a DI car, look down into those cylinders and you'll see a little or a lot of basically
carbon deposits.
Yeah, Christmas tree around the valve, and you'll see where the valve opens to because that's where it stops.
I remember, I don't remember who sent me the link. I really wish I would have saved the link, but there was a guy that bought an M3, which is a direct injected six cylinder, and he dynoed it when he first got it. And then he dynoed it one calendar year later and lost like 20 wheel horsepower. Dynoed it a year later again, lost 20 horse. Dynoed it a year again, lost 20 more horse, almost to the T. And then he did a walnut blast on the backside of his intake valves, which a lot of people with the plastic printers can print like a little cool little chute that you can just shoot walnut stuff through and then
vacuum it back out,
and then your valves look nice again. But then he dynoed it, and it was right back to original brand new power.
That's great. 20 wheel per year.
Year for that's, like 3 years.
Oof, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's why the LSJ is the best engine.
Port injection.
Yep.
And to keep on theme, these larger injectors, are these something you can bolt on, or is this something you need a tune for?
Need a tune. So
anytime you put injectors in a car.
So take note, guys.
I saw you commenting yesterday.
I hate
3,800 dudes.
I hate some people. Like, you get in the 3,800 Facebook groups and they're like, can I put 42s in my car and need a tune? And I'm like, yes. And then somebody's in there like, oh, if you run at E85, you can run 42s just fine. And I'm like, no, you can't.
Please don't.
Injector offsets definitely don't matter.
Just because E85 requires 25 to 30% more fuel and 42s are like 30% bigger than stock doesn't mean it's right. Just because the car starts and drives down the road and feels like feels all right doesn't mean it's right.
Get a tune. I mean, above all, it's not a bolt-on, but any of the platforms that we deal with, pick up HP Tuners. Have it at your disposal. Remote tune with us. It is the best per dollar investment you will make to your vehicle.
You can scan your car. You can tune your car. You can scan your buddy's car.
That too.
You can tune you can your next car. You can scan your mom's car. Like, HB Tuners is amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
It supports, like, other platforms, like some Mercedes and some BMW. Like, it Dodge, you know. Not
Subaru,
that any of us
some, not
own
yours.
Dodges.
Yeah, older. And let's be honest, biggest benefit, we all mod our cars. We like playing with them.
Yeah.
Inevitably, something's going to go wrong. You're going to be trying to diagnose something or be trying to troubleshoot. Hey, why is my car not cranking now? You now have the tool that you can scan it, send that info to a tuner, somebody who might know a little more than you. Give us that info. We can help point you in the right direction. That by itself will pay for it.
Uh-huh. Yes. Like, here's an example. So, like T-Spain just mentioned, okay, your car just doesn't run, or it starts and stalls or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, when you have a way to scan the car, you can find out what the missing or what the misreporting sensor is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, it might be, I know in my layouts, that's the gauge appearance on the laptop screen. I have the red lines set. So, like, if something is, like, out of range, that gauge will light up red.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll, like, instantly know, like, a 3800, common problem is the MAF sensor fails at like a really high number.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have it, you'll start the car and it'll like putter and just shut off or not even like start at all. And you're like, what the heck's going on? You hook up your scanner and your MAF is reading, you know, 45 pounds a minute when it's not running. That, you know, circles the problem.
Yep.
Like, oh, my MAF sensor doesn't work. Or, hey, I'm cranking the car. And when I'm cranking the car, my RPM is not reading on the scanner screen. Mm-hmm. You know, I better look into a crank sensor.
Yeah, or a
cam
sensor, whatever.
Yep. You know, you could check codes. Like, oh, I have cam correlation codes, and I was just doing my timing chain.
Oh, no,
oh, no, you're going to have to redo your timing chain. Like,
uh-oh. We got
good,
no sound?
Good stuff.
Oh.
No sound.
Brandon, apparently there is sound, so maybe restart the browser. But yeah, HP Tuner's fantastic. What I want to get into with bolt-ons is the game has changed a lot. I mean, just starting with 3800, that was a platform that you could bolt on a lot of things to your engine or, you know, whatever, and get away with it without having a tune. Whereas now, on our more modern things, LTG specifically, you know, almost, well, everything needs a tune.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You should tune.
I've had people contact me to tune their ATS and, like, all they did was put a cold air intake on it, and they need a tune. It's not because of, well, you gotta watch this wording.
Yeah.
You did put the intake on, it requires a tune, let's say. But, like, the car runs perfect, but you'll get, like, a code, and you'll get, like, a 420 code.
Or a P015B.
Like, yeah.
You get some weird ones.
O2 codes. Like, you'll get that from just installing an intake. Like, what does the intake have to do to the O2 sensor? Not really much. I mean, the O2 sensor is there to double check the air fuel ratio and report back to the ECM so the ECM can use its fuel trims to perfect the fueling. And like, you'll put an intake on and the fuel trims will look great, but all of a sudden you have a weird random like O2 code and you're like, that's weird, you know. And we can take care of that in the tune, but like, my biggest thing with bolt-ons and the part I really want everybody to hear is when it comes to bolt-ons, it is so crucial to know what bolt-ons you really need to get gains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are vehicles that a cold air intake is not the first mod.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we're here to give you the most bang for the buck. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole go fast, not broke thing. Like, there are cars, like a 99-plus Grand Prix. An air intake is not the first mod I would recommend myself.
You get the blower noise better.
Yeah.
But
you don't necessarily gain power because that the 99 plus airbox flows decently well.
Yeah. Same with the LSJ Cobalt and Ion Redline.
Yes.
The stock intake is great. GM did a fantastic job, and especially on the Redline.
Yeah.
Everyone's intake except for ours is smaller than stock.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because the Redline, the Ion Redline, is the only car that comes with like a 3-inch intake from the factory.
Yeah.
So like, our intake we sell, like, yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But there probably aren't big gains to that. But people want it, so we have to sell it. But we also don't misrepresent it and say that you're going to gain 20 horsepower like K&N.
I almost feel like our 3-inch intake for the LSJ cars is like almost like a steering wheel or a shift knob in the car. You're like, it might not really do a whole lot, but it makes me want to drive the car. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It makes me want to get in and rip on the car.
Yeah, like, and on a blower car, man, there is not much better than doing intake mods. Uh-huh. There is an order. Like, I even do it when we're promoting a new platform. If we're doing a build series on a car, we will sit down and we'll talk about it. Like, what order do we need to do the mods
to show the
most gains? You know, some mods might require a couple other mods to see gains from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because keep in mind, every mod you do does not give you X horsepower. It gives you X percentage. It gives you a percent of flow.
That's the whole mentality of, oh, well, I have ABC on my car. They each add 10 horsepower. So no, I'm 30 up. Well, no.
Yes, but no. I did see Speedo Jameson say, I was able to run a cold air intake, downpipe, and intercooler without any coats or tuning. You might have been able to do that, but the system wasn't optimized.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to do a thing, but just because you can do a thing doesn't mean it's the right way to do it.
Yeah, the GM tunes generally suck. Some are worse than others. Some tunes aren't terrible, but like most of the time they run the car really lean and they have a lot of timing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's surprising, you know, especially taking like a LSJ 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
tune and looking back at a stock file, and the timing's quite a bit less, but you know, they GM sets it up as here's it, that's it. So, you know, especially when cars get older and they start to get a little more whipped out, then you're going to end up in weird spots in the timing table, and you might be running 26 degrees at the top end, which isn't good.
One thing I'm glad you brought up the LSJ, because the LSJ, like, that's the one that every once in a while, you'll have a tune that is like fire, like just an OEM. Like, I remember the guy's last name was
Freak Bro.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I hate using that term, but we had a guy. His last name was Eagleoff, and he had a GM Stage 2 Cobalt.
Okay.
And this Cobalt made 235 wheel, 100% stock with the GM Stage 2 kit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, GM Stage 2 kit made 235 wheel, and that was the only car ever that I ever dynoed, and I have dynoed hundreds of LSJs over my years. I haven't done an LSJ on the dyno in like 5+ years since you've been here, but like I did hundreds years ago. Like, so not all, like, the order of mods is so crucial.
Yeah.
And like the 3800 guys are like, hey, you know, I've got a 3-4 pulley and a colder intake and a downpipe. Do I need injectors? No. Like, that's another go fast, not broke thing. Like, you do not need injectors until you're running below a 3.1 pulley.
Yeah.
And that's assuming that you have the proper mods for that 3.1 pulley. You can't put a 3.1 pulley on a stock car. You know, that's another subject is like, running the correct amount of boost for your mods. And that applies to all platforms. That applies to LTG 1.4, supporting mods, fuel, and like everything requires a perfect match of mods to optimize the car.
Yep. So I did also catch a question up there. Nightblade, he has a V3 on his car, and he's going to go to Z04. Yes, you're going to need a retune.
Yes.
That is a completely different turbo.
Yeah. But if you are looking to purchase the V3.1, our Z04s are going to be in stock pretty soon.
Yes.
So, personally, wait it out. Stick on that stock turbo for a while, because you'll want the Z04.
Z04, it's very unfortunate that the Z04 costs so much. But keep in mind, the cost of the Z04 is expensive because it comes with half your exhaust, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, you know, the V3 the Z04 comes with a downpipe and a midpipe, where the V3 requires, well, that doesn't require, you really should do a downpipe and midpipe.
So that begs the question, is a turbo a bolt-on?
I think so.
What do you got, T-Spit?
So it's definitely a weird gray area. It is and it isn't. The only reason I say, would a bolt-on be considered a bolt-on if it requires X supporting mods in order to run?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Good.
That's the thing. Because, like,
good point.
On LSJCar, for example, the entry-level kit is a bolt-on in the fact that, yes, you bolt it to the engine.
The engineering's been done to where you can just
boop. But if you're on the stock clutch, if you're on...
if you don't have the supporting mods for it, you're going to have a bad time. Yeah.
So kind of like Z04. You can technically just buy a Z04, put it on a stock car, and it will run with a tune.
Yeah.
But you really should also have the injectors, cams...
Yeah, when I go back, same thing I said a little while ago, is it an optimized setup? Yeah. Not without a tune and not without correct supporting mods.
Yeah,
and there are a lot of people that will, let's say, like, I'll come up with a wild combo. Like, you could have a 100% stock car that you want to run on 87 octane and run a Z04. I can make that happen.
You can do it.
I've literally done that for more than one person, surprisingly. With you having 87 octane, that limits my ability to run more boost.
Yeah.
So I have to run less boost. When I run less boost, that makes less power. Less power requires less fueling. Mm-hmm. So you can run a Z04 with stock injectors, 87 octane. It's okay. But obviously, if you put 42s or 60s, I can, and run premium or E85, we can make a lot more boost and a lot more power.
They're going to seem like two different cars on those two different setups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anthony asks, what power does a stock LSJ clutch hold? Well, a little bit less than what you're making, Anthony, because yours is slipping. Back in the day...
It depends on the driving style.
Yeah, that too. Because back in the day, I remember on CSS.net, a ton of people were going through stock clutches on stock cars.
Yeah.
And I never understood that because it's a decent clutch.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you it certainly does not hold 400 foot-pounds on a Z54.
Yeah.
It left the chat right after that.
Yep. I mean, one thing funny about clutches is clutches are all about, power change over time.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you put a big turbo on a car, you could probably put a Z57 on an LSJ, and the stock clutch
hold all about that torque hit.
Because it reduces the peak torque, and it delays how quickly it hits that peak torque to where it kind of rolls into power band.
I've got a customer on a 257 kit on a stock clutch.
I believe it.
It's a 91 octane car, so it's not that fast.
But I bet you he's not no lift shifting.
No, he's not.
So driving style is also a part.
Yeah.
You drive it like a race car, you gotta fix it like a race car.
GMPP is the stock LNF clutch.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You can replace it. A lot of folks run the GMPP as a upgrade.
Yep.
They can last a long time. They can hold some good power, but as you work up there, they'll start to shake the springs out and all that. But
it's an upgrade for an LSJ.
Yes. Yeah.
But for an LNF, it is OE, pretty much. OE replacement. And it can handle 100% stock LNF. 100% stock LNF.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you put a tune on it and you're making 350 to 400 foot-pounds of torque... Not happening.
No.
Unless you're really easy on the throttle and you don't know lift shift.
Well, if you want to be lame, I suppose.
Pretty much. I think, one of the easiest bolt-ons to talk about is exhaust. Because for the most part, you can throw anything at a car. There's a lot of folks, especially, who will inquire and they'll be like, hey, I'm putting on, long tubes and downpipe and... 3-inch exhaust. Do I need a retune? No.
Depending on
food grade stainless.
Unless it's food grade stainless.
Yeah, depending on the car too.
If you've got an LTG, you might see a code. There's a chance you will see the code. Mm-hmm.
But on an LTG, the actual catback, you can throw that on a bone stock car because there are no sensors in that area that are reporting back to the PCM.
It's just a sound maker.
Yeah,
I mean, keep in mind, guys, the ECM is looking at the mass airflow sensor. If you add a mod that adds just a little bit of airflow, then more airflow is, you know, the ECMC is more air and it commands more fuel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have an LTG car, let's say, and it's full bolt on with like a, I don't know, a big wheel turbo or something, mm-hmm. and you put a cat-back on, you're completely fine.
Yeah.
Yep. You'll gain a few horsepower. The ECM will see the extra airflow. It'll command the extra fuel. You're good to go.
And that's one part, too, that, you know, obviously as car guys and car people, we love exhaust mods. You know, your car sounds different than regular everyday traffic. But that's one thing that has come a long way, at least on GM's side, is the exhausts have gotten a lot better. You know, back in the day, an old crush-bent cat-back, you know, you could actually pick up 5 to 10 wheel with just a cat-back on. You know, now you look at a stock LTG exhaust, the muffler is probably pretty restrictive, but the rest of the system is pretty decent.
For the,
you know, for the car, and so like T-Spain said, it's always car dependent, but you know, I would definitely say exhaust, intake, you know, on a 3800 you can do power logs or headers, which you shouldn't, and you should just get an equalizer, but understandable.
Like, you know what, I'm sorry, I gotta, like, that freaking equalizer, I am so, like, that is our coolest product that we've ever made. I'm gonna say that.
Yeah.
That equalizer is the coolest product ZZP has ever made. Like, so I'm in the dyno bay, I'm working on a customer car, and all of a sudden I hear this thing fire up. And I'm like, you know, and now that our new dyno bay is in the same friggin' parking lot, like, oh my God, is that nice. But I don't have to drive across street. So I hear this thing fire up. I'm like, what the heck is that? And then whoever fires it up, like, revs it a couple times. And I'm like, what the heck is that car? So I, like, get out of the car, and I walk out of the dyno bay, and I look, and it's our stupid beater GTP with an equalizer on. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, that thing still gets me.
I know.
I am so mad. Like, I have owned so many 3800 cars in my employment of ZZP, and, like, and I haven't owned one since we've made that equalizer.
Yep.
That thing sounded like pure beautiful. Like, oh my God, it sounded so good.
Yep.
Like, he just, like, he fired it up and he just kind of went whoom, whoom a couple times and then backed it out. And I'm like, ah. That thing makes like 340 wheel probably.
I had my eye on a GSE on bringing a trailer.
Oh yeah, we were looking at that yesterday.
But it went past my, I can spend this money without feeling bad, Bryce.
Okay. Looks like hopefully we're better now. Sorry, guys. Issue there. It seems YouTube was having trouble keeping up. But 09 Cobalt LS with 140,000 miles. It's safe to boost. I mean,
it's as safe now as it ever was.
Yeah. Yeah. And EcoTech.
Yeah. I mean, really. 140,000 miles on a newer car. Yeah, it's fine. Like, I would, like,
do a compression
test. Maybe pull the valve cover and just make sure that the cams are steel colored and not black. But if it's clean in there and it doesn't smell up the whole room when you take the valve cover off, heck yeah, it is.
Is anybody going to tell Tim that 09 is not a new car?
That was 15 years ago.
Yes, as somebody who also had an 09 LTZ, whatever sport, I had an LAP engine, and that, I think my chassis had 180-ish thousand miles.
Oh yeah.
When I turboed the car, yes. Do not go past 20 pounds on a KO4 because your rods will do this.
Rain, don't say that high. That's the old.
Don't go to 20 pounds.
That thing has the thin rods.
So it does. We the people, the later model 2.4s and 2.2s have really really skinny rods.
Real thin rods.
Randy, aside.
20 pounds. Oh, my God.
It was 20 pounds on a 7065, so the hit wasn't bad.
Because it didn't make boost until 6.
I know how you drive. You never floor your car, so.
No, I don't floor my cars like you do, which is, like, coolant temp's 80 degrees, and he's like, right out of the parking lot. That's not me, no.
No. I don't do that either.
Now, isn't it safer for those engines to go super versus turbo?
Yes,
for sure.
Yes and no. The supercharger takes power to make power, but it doesn't have the torque hit of the turbo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The turbo has more torque, and that's generally what breaks rods.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's kind of
Yeah.
be responsible. Like,
just just treat the car nice and
single digit boost numbers on the stock bottom end and you're probably okay. Yeah. Run very good fuel and scan the car like crazy. If you're getting any knock at all, like do not go full throttle until that's addressed.
Yeah, definitely, if you're boosting a 2.2, you got to have some mechanical sympathy, because if you don't, it's
going to end up building a plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I broke mine at lunch when I was working at Lockheed Martin and it was a bad time. Luckily we had an engine together like within a couple days.
But there we go.
Would not suggest 20 plus pounds.
Now would you say on a turbo 2.2 or 2.4? Are connecting rods a supporting mod?
Kind of, man.
Yeah.
But they're technically a bolt-on.
With enough bolts?
Bolt the rods onto the crank.
With enough bolts.
If you have boost on an 09 and newer, then I would highly recommend rods or really scan it. It a lot and make sure that thing is dialed. That tune needs to be perfect. You need to keep an eye on the fuel trims, like wide band O2,
HP tuners.
I love modding cars with limitations. That's I think why I work here. Is obviously I don't like mod V8 cars really. I like modding with limitations.
Who needs 1500 wheel anyway?
Who wants the heavy? I know I don't, honestly.
Owen's good thing to bring up, cooling mods on an LSJ are definitely bolt-ons and they should definitely be done.
Firstly, check that your pump is going the right way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, beyond getting the intercooler pump checked, how far can all the cooling mods get you as far as power before you heat soak again? So that's
cooling mod should be your first mod.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't do anything until you do the cooling mods.
But as far as heat soak goes, that's going to be dependent on A, what you're doing with the car, and then B, your pulley size. Because the smaller you go on the pulley, the faster you're spinning that blower, the more heat you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
An LSJ sitting at a stoplight will get really hot. You need air flowing through there. But if you're on a reasonably sized pulley and you have full cooling mods, you shouldn't have a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason you can't go out and beat on the car. I mean, I just took the blue car out for a spin last Friday, one of the days. Anyway, 45 minutes, I counted, and I did 30 watt pulls. Oh, yeah. I was beaten.
He was testing a thing that
I went
what
down.
What were you doing?
You know the road that connects Lake Michigan to Wilson, the curvy one? I hit that, and then I went up to Leonard, and I was doing that. I was just, checking things over, but IAT2's never got a butt. Above 140, so
nice.
We're doing good.
In my opinion, LSJ guys, heat exchanger should be the first mod.
Yeah,
I mean first supercharged mod. Cars in general, really.
Yeah,
or realistically,
on a 3800, bolt on that intercooler. Yeah,
and another thing,
yes.
Our website probably doesn't stress and push this enough. Our Stage 3 heat exchanger is a great upgrade. It's great, great upgrade from stock.
Mm-hmm.
However, that Stealth is so much better.
So much better.
Get the Stealth heat exchanger.
Yeah, Ryan and I have been talking about putting together a Stage 4 LSJ kit. And unfortunately, at the moment, it would only be Cobalts. But we're thinking all the cooling mods, Stealth. And then that could be, the go-to. So, I don't know if anybody in the chat still has a stock LSJ car. That's the only thing that gets muddy is not everybody has a stock car, so you already have the cooling mat, But, maybe we'll do that.
So, added benefit to starting with cooling mods.
Mm-hmm.
You add that Stealth, you add the dual pass. Those can be used if you decide to go to an entry-level turbo.
Yeah.
You can.
Absolutely.
So those are investments that will protect you for future building as well.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, and man, an LSJ with full cooling mods on an entry-level kit. I mean, I've got dudes who are sub-ambient during Watt on them.
Pretty nice.
So that's killer.
Onto the 1.4 guys.
Oh yes,
and the LTGs, intercooler also a must have.
Oh
yeah, huge. I mean, I can't speak for LNF because I haven't spent very much time on it in an LNF with the stock intercooler.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm assuming it'll probably be the same because that's an older car, and that means that it wasn't even as good as the newer cars. But on an LTG and a 1.4 Cruisin' Sonic, like an intercooler should be one of your first mods.
Oh yeah.
And like right now,
the stock one is this thick. Like it's maybe 3 inches. I don't even think so.
I think it's less than
like
that,
two and a half. And it's and all of this like, tall.
And again, with intercoolers for 1.4s in particular, you might not see the horsepower gain on your first pull. But when you do back to back to
or
back,
three gears, to back
pulls, yeah. or a really long pull, that's where you're going to see the car being a lot
happier. Here's another thing, too, that I ran into. So my Sonic was bought or was purchased. I bought my Sonic with a Morgan Fab intercooler.
Mm-hmm.
And I get this car and I'm like, oh, cool. It has an intercooler, so it's something I don't have to do. So yeah. I did everything but that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm running the car and I'm like, man, my MATs are just terrible. Uh-huh. They're terrible. And I'm like, but I have the, like, one of the best intercoolers that are available for the car.
Yeah.
One thing that a lot of, like, I would imagine a lot of you guys don't realize is an intercooler is a replaceable mod part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So I pull this intercooler out, and it is a premium unit. But the problem is, it's been on the car for a lot of years.
Yeah. Who knows how long.
So what does aluminum do? It corrodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's in the weather conditions, and it corrodes.
Mm-hmm.
That corrosion is a coating on top of the intercooler.
Yeah, it takes away physical volume from the inside of the
so
intercooler.
So I am not knocking that product.
Yeah, like
it's
Walker makes a great intercooler.
But. It's a great intercooler. It's a great product. I'm not knocking it. It's just something that needs to be
It is a
watched.
Wear item.
It is a wear item.
Yeah,
it's just like wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Like people talk about like running premium wheels, and it's like that premium wheel, it's great, but that is a part that you need to replace.
Mm-hmm. Eventually.
Like even like a high quality wheel. If you get a work wheel or something like that, like that's why it's crazy to me when people buy like, you know, wheels from Japan or something like that. They're like, well, this is an original 1980s TE. Yeah. I'm like, brother.
Yes, that is a Volk wheel and it is like top of the line wheel. Yeah. However, if it's been raced on for 5 years,
I've been curbing at a track at 80, 90, 100 miles an hour, you don't want to do that and then use the same wheels next season.
No.
It just opens you up to failure. So
I don't know what mileage, obviously it depends on your driving style. Mm-hmm. You know, if you hit the curbing and you're just hard on your car and you've had a bunch of spin outs and you just drive like a bonehead, like you're going to have to replace your wheels more, like me. Yeah, probably have to replace my wheels more often. But yeah, so on the intercooler, like that is heat exchangers and intercoolers and stuff, like that is an item that you're going to have to service.
Yeah.
You're going to have to replace that every X amount of years.
Yeah.
And obviously somebody in Nevada is not going to have to replace it as much as somebody here in Michigan.
We're running around and you're getting that salt sprayed all over, over it. It's not good. LOL, PM, whatever. LE5 intake manifold replacement. Stock one cracked. Just go to the Saab intake manifold. We sell the modified one that has the map pad on it. On an LE5, though, you might be able to get away with just using a stock Saab 9.3 intake manifold because you already have the M6 studs. Yeah, so your throttle body will bolt right up, and it's not going to crack.
I highly recommend, while it's off, adding some bungs for some stuff, though.
Yeah.
You know,
that's like, part of our modified.
Yeah, like drill and tap and put some like vacuum boost line fittings on it. And
mm-hmm.
Nicholas, we were thinking about grid life stuff, but we really like streetcar a lot better than the grid life events lately.
Yeah, it's...
It's more tailored towards like... concert goers, and there's also some cars there.
Yeah, and nobody loves grid life more than me and ZZP, but like that has turned into a EDM child fest.
It really had.
There might be some good driving going on.
Absolutely.
But like, it's just not our crowd.
It's a lot of people now. And it sells out instantly. The tickets are, oh my gosh, the tickets are so
expensive.
But if
you want, Nicholas, you can come to Streetcar Takeover and grab a lane.
US 131 Motorsports Park.
And it's not that expensive to get in.
That's true.
No, it's...
And you can hang out with us.
I think it's like $30.
We should really buy tickets for that.
Probably.
Yeah, but we know the owner. We'll probably get
We'll be all right.
Just show up.
we the people, we've got some old fashions here today. I wanted to grab somebody else's... Oh, Gordon Barclay. Plastic upper charge pipe replacement on the LNF should be the first mod. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those things will blow apart. I mean, for me, it's kind of nice that GM chimped there. Chimped?
Chimped?
Cheaped?
Cheaped out? I don't know.
I don't know. Cheaped out there because...
Chimped. Picking bugs out, you know?
I picked up an HHRSS a couple years ago. The dude thought that the engine was blown, and I went and I looked at it. And I shined the flashlight down in there, and I could see a crack on the intercooler. Ooh. So I unplugged the MAF, and I drove it on the trailer.
And he was like...
He was like...
Oh, no!
Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
I messed up.
Yeah.
Jesse asks, does HP Tuners monitor pre- and post-intercooler air temps? Yes. Yep. Absolutely. Except on a 3800, because they don't have a sensor. Mm-hmm. But... yeah, you'll have your intake air temp, and then you'll have your intake air temp 2, or, what is it, manifold air temp the later cars?
Manifold air temp is a calculated figure.
Yeah, that's good.
But gets a really good idea. An actual sensor.
Yeah.
Let's see, 3800 question, worthwhile to switch from a VS cam to a ST2 for a street turbo setup that probably has a fair amount of back pressure?
I would say no. Actually, the VS cam is not a terrible cam for a turbo car, so I don't think you're going to see enough gains to switch to the ST2. The ST2 is going to sound better.
Yeah.
It's probably our best sounding turbo cam we have. But if you already have a VS, just run it. It's fine.
That's a lot of work to see smaller gains. I'm curious what turbo he's going with that he already knows we'll have a lot of back pressure. That's what Bo's running into with his current turbo as well.
Yep.
That leads me to a secondary question. Is a cam a bolt-on?
I say no.
No.
Anything I think internals in the probably can't.
I don't include internals as bolt-ons.
Yeah.
Even when it comes to something as simple as like a larger fuel pump lobe for an LTG, I still wouldn't consider that a bolt-on.
I would definitely call it a supporting mod.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So definitely a supporting mod. So for that, I would kind of say if it's something that your average home mechanic doesn't have a tool for, like if you got to walk down to the parts store and rent a tool to use it, probably not a bolt-on.
Probably not a bolt-on.
And all these new cars have these like cam tool kits. I feel bad for you guys that have these cars and you're like, man, I want to mod my car, but I don't have this cam alignment tool that's from... you know, Morse or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh man, you're like, I feel that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. And
they kind of, the newer cars definitely have a stronghold there when you go to modify them. They're like, no, you can't do that.
You can't do that. I remember what I wanted to grab. Eric Overmeyer asked, what's the difference between the S3 and the Stealth? So the biggest difference is going to be capacity. Mm-hmm. That you're almost doubling what the S3 holds in the Stealth. Not only that, so typically people run the S3 in the front and they leave their stock heat exchanger in the middle of the AC condenser and the radiator. So it's picking up all that heat, radiated heat, I suppose.
Radiant.
But the Stealth pushes that up front. So it's getting the airflow first. You have that extra cooling capacity. It is by and far the absolute best heat exchanger for a Cobalt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So would it also be safe to say that the more things you stack in front of each other, the less airflow each item is going to receive?
Making
the last item not efficient at all.
Yep.
And we actually had a entry level car here. He had a stage 3 heat exchanger and a stock on his car, and it wasn't making quite the right power. IETs were a little high, and on the dyno, it's hard to simulate airflow even with as many fans as you can get. But we removed that S3, moved to a Stealth, got it out in front. And that's the biggest thing is you don't want anything in front of that Stealth. Because it has so much surface area, you want all the air hitting it.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to that, and he picked up 35 wheel. So that's pretty killer.
Huge.
So, Eric, if you're debating, go for the Stealth.
And to add another rant to that, I'm sorry, people.
Which is the entire podcast, which is just ranting.
Every week.
Welcome to the Power Hour.
Don't forget that air takes a path of least resistance.
Yep.
If that air has an easier route, it will not flow through that heat exchanger. I guarantee you, is not the easiest path of flow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, oh, I have this Grand Prix. I'm going to use a Grand Prix as an example. I've got this Grand Prix, and I added this intercooler, this heat exchanger up front. This plastic, all this plastic underneath my bumper cover doesn't fit anymore. Trash can.
Yeah.
Your coolant temps are going to go up 20 yep. degrees. That heat exchanger is nearly doing nothing
yeah,
because the air hits it and goes right underneath the car. So I mm-hmm. cannot stress enough, like air direction, directing that airflow yep. to your heat exchangers and making sure that it has to flow through them
yep.
is crucial. The factory air dams and whatever you call that, all the plastics yep. in
all
in the
ducting,
front.
All the shrouding.
Oh man,
like,
it is
even
so
if you
important.
Put our intercooler kits, you might have to trim your ducting a little bit.
Yeah.
For goodness sake, leave it in there.
Yeah. Yes. Put it back in.
Yeah.
Trim it. Yep. Trim it. And if you have gaps and whatnot, if those gaps are big enough, then find some sheets of really thin plastic and yep. just screw them into
I'm
it.
I'm a big fan of like the stick on like a memory foam stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah.
just run
yeah.
it around the edge.
Heck yeah.
Yep.
Maybe take some plastic or aluminum sheet stuff and screw it into stuff and bend it to where like it forces the air to go through the heat mm-hmm. exchangers.
Yeah, don't be afraid. I mean, if you've got a spot on your front subframe, you can drill right into that.
Yeah.
And bend it and make it however you want.
Mm-hmm. They make self-tapping bolts.
Yeah.
You can just drill like an eighth inch hole into your frame and just like run this self-tapping bolt in and then just strategically cut aluminum and like bolt it and fold it and mm-hmm. it's you don't have to you don't see it, so you can just bolt it and just bend it with your hand,
yeah,
and it's fine.
But around here, don't forget to paint that little spot where you cut in. Yes. Because you don't want it rusting out.
Yeah, yeah, Michigan will destroy your car.
Even if you just get a little touch-up paint that's just clear coat, just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yep. That's all you need.
We the People says his car rocks back and forth when coming to a stop at a stoplight. Now, do you mean like as you're pulling up and stopping, or is it when it's sitting there? I mean, obviously hard to say, but
yeah.
I mean, it could be anything from a dirty throttle body to some worn out injectors.
Yeah, like,
to
is your RPMs actually dropping like it's trying to stall, or
I guess
is it a bad mount?
Yeah.
I guess I'll refer to our previous conversation, and like if you had HB tuners, We could tell you.
Yeah.
If you send us a scan, like we'll tell you.
Yeah. If it's an auto car, those 4T45s aren't great.
Yeah.
So
is that a Cobalt?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He said Cobalt. He's got a 2.2.
I mean, if it's specifically coming from like, I don't know, say more than half throttle, and you let off and you're coasting down to a stop like that, it might be the TPS on the throttle body on that.
Oh, yeah.
The 2.2s don't like what you're doing HP tuners wise.
So, one thing I do to test how bad your motor mounts are is I put the car in park and I just park the car, pop the hood, and then I get in front of the car and I grab the radiator support
mm-hmm.
and I just rock the car back and forth.
Yeah.
Back and forth. And I watch and see how much the engine moves, and I try to determine where that movement is.
Yeah, if it's one side over the other.
Yeah, if it's moving side to side, if it's moving in the bottom, if it's moving at the top, like the 3800s can be bad. Like engine can move like over an inch. And then it's generally just a worn out rubber.
Yeah.
Like you could potentially just replace all the mounts with just new OEM stuff and it's enough. Or if you want to upgrade a couple mounts, you know, it's never a bad idea.
We've got them for mostly all our
Is that a Mr. Malakad down there?
It is.
Well, Tender I don't need problems. No problems growing hair on the chest. It's this part. That's the problem.
Yeah, does it make you grow hair elsewhere?
I do have to like give him a shout out. Mr. TJ like got me this awesome cup right here. It has my name on it and my car.
Yeah.
And he sent it to me for us working
Freaking
on his
killer.
Car. It's pretty awesome.
He also sent us some hats, which we forgot to wear.
Yeah.
They're downstairs.
He also sent Bo one, but I didn't want two drinks. So
that's fair.
Yep. I only brought mine.
Only
Why
brought
not
the
two
one.
Drink? Everybody loves two drink Tim.
No.
Two drink Tim.
Nobody likes
two drink Tim.
Tim.
At the bowling alley, just yelling at people.
The turbo twos.
Boosted beak.
All right.
So, T-Spain, since you're in, obviously you know our platforms, you're working in customer service. Subaru Land, What's your go-to?
What's stage one?
Yeah, what's your stage one? Yeah. What's your stage two? Tell the people what
stage
car you
one
have.
They are very different. So
is like a whole built engine, right?
No.
Well, the engine should be. The engine can handle 1,000, but I make 350.
Yeah. So I mean, I hate stages. I'm gonna say that I hate stages. Technically, in Subarus, stage one is tune on a stock engine.
No, stage one is denial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Continue.
It's a race car, guys.
It's a race car.
He's got a better engine. Yeah, he doesn't have the EJ.
And he's probably my favorite Subaru around. So
The copy paste, like the route you go tune, intake, retune. Downpipe exhaust.
Retune. Yep.
And then from there, intercooler, and then you get your choice. Depending on your car, you get injectors, you get turbo, and that's kind of like your copy-paste.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you've got, yours is a DI car, right?
Yep, so mine's direct injected.
Okay. Well, your car's an FA, right?
Yep, so it's FA20.
Do they offer like aux kits or like port injection kits for that engine?
It's not quite like a bolt-on kit like what we offer. Ours is way simplified by comparison. What I would have to do
is it like a meth kit?
No. So it's essentially I take a port injection manifold from another car, run adapters, put another manifold on my car, add injectors, and have a separate control unit for
those. Yeah, like a FIC.
So that sounds more complicated.
So it's like our fifth injector kit, but like 10 extra steps and probably 10 times the price.
10 extra steps and half the horsepower.
That's just to add extra fuel into it.
Oh my gosh. Where do the stock injectors run out?
On the DIs, not too bad. I can go full E85.
Oh.
I can go.
Oh, nice.
I can keep the injectors all the way until the engine will break.
Oh, well, then
350
you're good.
Wheel.
But the port injected. It's
shots fired. Oh my god.
I'm not wrong.
It is dark up here.
Yeah, about 350 is the stopping point.
I'm not just joking. I've done the research.
Yeah. Like,
it's already warm in here.
I do have to say, like, I love Subarus. Like, you know, so I talk a lot of crap. I talk a lot of smack about Subarus, but I do love them. Like, I love Subarus. It frustrates me so much how underpowered they seem to be.
Yes. Yeah. You have to do so much more with a Subaru engine to make the equivalent power to an Ecotec.
Yep.
It's
I'm going to say that flat out.
It's almost like someone a long time ago figured out the piston should go up and down. And then instead of left and right.
The thing is, though, I love the FA. Mm-hmm. FAs are great.
Yeah, they're a lot better.
EJ's different story.
I mean,
it's frustrating. Like, you have like one of the coolest cars in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Like, I love the body of your car.
Oh yeah,
but
a great looking car.
I hate that engine. Can we LSJ swap it?
Oh, LSJT. Yes.
If mine ever goes and it's a ZZP project.
If we could put that in R&D.
R&D. That does actually remind me. I had a customer email. I forget his name. He did ask, he was actually doing that exact thing. He was LSJ swapping his STI, maintaining the all-wheel drive setup.
Ooh.
I'm in.
Here, or if he listens to this at any point, I want to know how that project goes.
That sounds like, did Dan North do that?
No, Dan's got the drive.
I know what he did.
He should.
But that seems like a Dan North thing to do, man. Please do that.
Speaking of Dan North, no, the throttle pedal ramp is not tunable on the LSJ. We have one table.
One.
It's not even a table. It is, you put in a number,
and it
works.
It's kind of like an on-off switch.
LSJ, guys, what we need to do is we all need to combine, and we need to email HB Tuners and
all
be
like,
we need more tables.
Yeah.
They're in there. I know. The files are in the computer.
Yes.
They're in the computer?
Like, Tyler will come to me and he'll be like, hey, I've got this LSJ with this problem. I'm like, oh, yeah, you just grab this table and you just change it.
Oh, cool.
And Tyler's like, yeah, cool, bro. I don't have that table.
Like,
and I'm like, know that table's in there.
Like, Tim's used to, like, dealing with torque-based stuff now because he has all the ATSs, ATSBs, Sonics and stuff. But, like, that's, like, the equivalent of, like, you're using a TI-83. He's using an Abacus. Like, when you go to LSJ tuning, you're like, yeah, that's good.
Yep, that's all you need.
More fueling? A little more fueling.
Yeah, it is the equivalent.
I feel so bad for Tyler with the LSJs. Like, that is such a cool engine, and the HP tuners ECM support sucks.
Oh, I know.
Yep.
It's hilarious, though. So we talked about this earlier, the larger injectors on a 3800, and I've never looked at a 3800 file, and I downloaded one from the repository. Mm-hmm. Talk about bare freaking bones.
Yeah, but they work.
Yeah, they do.
They have a cable throttle, so it's really easy.
They do. They work so well.
But yeah, I was like, oh yeah, let me look at the injector offset table, and it's like 4 cells.
I know.
That's it.
It's frustrating too, because Bo will come to me and be like, oh, I got this car with this problem. I'm like, oh, just grab this table, and he doesn't have it either. I'm like, come on. But like, oh god,
it's kind of a blessing and a curse, because it is so simple that like, you might have to get funny with some things you got to try, but really, it's like fuel, air, spark, like, yeah, we can, you know.
Yeah, you go into a torque-based ECM, and it's like, he has to talk to him before that happens, and they have to talk to each other.
Yeah.
If they don't like what's going on, they're going to go back to the first guy. It's like dealing with a corporation.
Yeah. And on the LSJ, I'm just like, hey, turn your boost controller up 2 knobs. We're good.
Yep.
That's it.
It seems a little rich. Just give her a quick...
Yeah, just...
Does that kind of follow along with more money, more problems?
Oh, man.
I mean...
More money, more problems.
You mean wrong.
Oh, man. And the thing is, I can't even say that the new torque-based stuff drives better, because they don't.
No.
They don't drive better than an L&F.
No.
Like, you and I drive Sonics all the time, like... You have to, like, time your shifts weirdly and stuff like that.
You do.
Because, like, you're like, I'm going to do throttle. And the car's like, no.
So you get in your LSJ car, and the throttle is directly connected to the pedal. Or your 3800 car. Directly connected. You get in your Sonic, and it's like, hit the gas pedal a half a second before you let the clutch out. Yep. Holy crap, is that frustrating, because I have like 5 cars and I have to bounce between them all, and it's like I have to remember, oh, I'm driving my Sonic, I have to hit the gas a half second earlier than all my other cars.
Yep.
Because you guys know, when you have a manual tranny car, that like the timing of the gas and like clutch let off on shifting is so freaking crucial.
Oh yep. Yeah.
And then, like, you have 2 cars that have vastly different timing of that.
Like, oh, I hate goodness. It when I get out of my Sonic and I get into my McLaren and it's so different. I have 5 cars. Come on, Tim.
They're all beaters. So it's
they're
okay.
All beaters. I hate it.
I have one.
But yeah, like the Cobalt, I rev match downshift everywhere.
Yep.
You get into any of the newer stuff, and you're like, put it in neutral.
It certainly takes. it's just a little different. That's all.
Yeah.
I will say, like, rev match downshifting, that is like so underrated.
Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah.
Like,
when you nail it perfectly.
Pads, makes good noises.
Yep.
Like, because I broke my S2000 because I didn't do that. Because Noah came to me one day and he's like, do you rev match downshift? And I'm like, no. And he's like, you better learn. And I'm like, whatever.
Toss it in gear and let the clutch.
Whatever. And then I go to, Road America and broke my rear end.
Like,
broke my rear end because I didn't rev match.
So what about the car?
I'm like,
that was a butt joke. All right. Yeah.
Broke his rear end. That's funny.
Spinal.
The spinal injury.
Dan North, best alternative ECU for an LSJ? I mean, so Al had a fuel tech on his, on the Honey Badger. Yep. That is an incredible software suite.
And they are always updating.
And they're always updating, cool, and their tech support is great. I will say, though, why?
Like,
that's where I was going.
For LSJs,
I mean,
yes, you have limits, but man, to run a standalone, like, standalones are superior. If you do your research and you pick the right standalone, it is a superior product for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be a tinkerer.
Yeah.
And what I mean is a tinkerer of tuning.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
If you want to just like set it and forget it, like, a standalone is not for you.
No.
You're going to want to run the GM ECM, even though it has its limitations.
Standalone, you know, has its place. But for a street car, for a car that you take out on the weekends, every weekend, and just...
Nice, Matt. Oh my goodness.
Just stick with the stock ECM. Yeah.
Take
a
drink. Like, I've been doing a lot of research in, like, we'll put it easier. Big turbos on small displacement engines.
Yeah.
For a personal project of mine. And the 1.6, like the G16E Corolla guys, like, are, so all bolt are bolt-ons, right? Or, you know, oh, get an intercooler, you know, exhaust, intake, blah, blah, blah. The, like, third thing for making big power on those Corollas is, like, standalone.
What?
Oh, gosh.
Like, if you go with, like, a bigger turbo, yeah, like, anything much larger,
Mike,
than stock.
You're killing me.
So ooh, not...
Gotta get those good temp sensors, huh?
I got Matt in here, and then Mike
this
feeding off each other.
This is why I'm not allowed on podcasts anymore. Oh, because people do this.
I think me and Matt are
going
best friends. Right?
Oh, that's hilarious!
Did we just become best friends,
Mike. Oh, you would like Matt.
Oh, I don't. That is that an insult?
Oh, God.
What the heck?
You would like Matt.
You would like Matt.
That's a nice guy.
So not only do you spend $60,000 on your Corolla,
yeah,
you then have to buy a $3,000 standalone.
Oh my
god. Yeah, because it is also like a torque-based ECM, yeah, but like once you get past a certain size turbo-wise on the cars, it's like, no.
I mean...
And it is a piggyback system. Like, I think, I want to say Haltech makes like a plug-and-play situation, yeah, for it, but that's still $3,500 yeah, that you have to spend on the car. I could buy like two Sonics for that.
Yeah.
So. And that is underrated right there. Is like, people are like, oh, I'm going to buy the newer car and go turn it to 11/10. Yeah. Like, holy crap. You be careful what you wish for.
Uh-huh.
Like, sometimes the older cars are like better cars.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and that's not knocking the GR Corolla or GR Yaris.
No, it's
I've driven the
car.
GR Corolla and it is a great car. But if you want to make more than 300 wheel or so.
Oh,
so, coming as a Subaru guy.
Yeah.
Wait. Did you say that the GR Corollas need like a standalone to make over 300 wheel?
If you're doing a bigger turbo, like much larger than stock. Like the AR, I think on the stock turbo was like 40. Oh,
okay.
But you said 300 wheel.
Once you get past that point, pretty much.
Car is hot garbage.
Ooh, it is not.
Get that quote from me right now.
It is
like
a good car.
Write it down.
Stick with the Sonics. I'm sticking with the Sonic. Like the GR Corolla, like the idea of it, I was like, oh, that's sweet.
Yeah,
I saw the car and that's cool. That's hot garbage. I will stay with my Sonic.
Yeah,
I mean, same.
There are certain JDM platforms that it is purely pay to play, and you're not playing that much for how much you're paying.
Man, that thing's a three-cylinder, right?
Yeah. Three-cylinder 1.6.
Mm-hmm.
We got a four-cylinder
iron
block 1.4.
Shake my head.
1.4.
I'm disappointed in them for that.
It's.
I wanted to grab Jesse Enzor, meth injection on a cruise. Just grab a throttle body spacer, right? That would be best place for meth on a cruise?
Yeah. I don't like it personally because if your pump sticks, it just dumps directly into your intake manifold.
Yeah.
I put it before the bend before you go to the throttle body.
Definitely, I would like this out there. Like, meth injection needs to be pre-throttle body only.
There we go. All right.
Never, ever, ever post-throttle body.
So, I had a story because my Cobalt, my sedan that I had, I had a full snow kit on it or something like that. And I put mine right before the 90-degree bend into the throttle body.
Okay.
And I put it there just for safety reasons. And I came out one morning to start the car, and I noticed my little LED for my pump turning on was on. And I was like,
ooh,
hmm.
Where did it all go?
And I, you know, keep the car off. And I go in there, and I dumped about 3 gallons of 100% meth out of my intercooler.
So,
glad you didn't start that.
Yep, that would have been very hydrolock.
Yeah, no, you probably wouldn't have hydrolocked it because that requires a lot of flow, but like the vapors from it.
Yeah, it was like I keyed it
a
on.
Hot spark
like,
plug.
Well, the Cobalt that I had 066s in it, so I would like key it on and let them pressurize.
Oh, yeah,
so it's, and while I was doing that, I would check my phone, whatever.
Yeah.
And I saw that LED turned on, and I was like,
Oh no.
Yeah, it was about 3 gallons of meth.
TJ, my ATSV is waiting on Noah. Noah's our engine builder. He is so far behind.
I have
right
so many
now,
products
like,
for your car, Tim.
So what he's trying to say is we're busy right now. We
like,
have a lot of customers.
Man,
which
like
is good.
I have ZZP heat exchangers for ATSV to test. I have big wheel turbos for ATSV to test. Like,
I got a stack of parts.
I have intercooler bricks for ATSV to test.
Yep.
We got lowering
waiting
springs
on
to
Noah.
Test.
Yep.
waiting on no one.
But our paying customers come first.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, too. Because we all work at ZZP, people think that, like, we'll just run through all of your personal stuff. My engine's been sitting on a stand for some time. Because we're just busy.
Yeah.
Customers come first.
The customers, I would love to drive the ATSV, but, like, you know, there's bigger paying jobs.
Yep.
You know, and it's arguable. Like, how much is R&D worth? It's negative money right now, but it's
we're probably giving up
a lot of money a year from now, not having all three of those products tested already.
Absolutely.
So it's a tough call, but, like, when customers place orders, like, you know, this sounds cheesy, but, like, we are here to, like, help everybody complete their dreams.
Yes, we are.
You know, I'm here to complete my dreams on my own car. So it's like, I feel the same way about our customers.
But it's like secondary.
Yeah. I want my ATSV on the road, but, you know, Noah's got to build some forged LTGs because we know they need those.
With personal cars, though, it's kind of like the cobbler's son situation. Like, just because your dad fixes shoes doesn't mean you're going to have the best shoes in town.
No.
Like, he's got to. We got to pump out cars.
We got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if you're a professional, like, chef by trade, the last thing you want to do is come home and make dinner for yourself.
That too.
That as too. Much yeah. as you love doing it, as much as we love doing what we do, you get home and you're like, I just kind of want to don't.
Yeah.
And then you pull the Costco chicken nuggets out of the freezer and you throw them in the air fryer. Oh, that's so good.
Chicken nuggies.
All right. We are at 5. I'm going to grab a couple more questions here. We the People, your 2.2, you will need a turbo manifold, whether that's a LNF turbo manifold or RZP. Or
the log is good.
Yeah, the T3 one.
Yep.
But you cannot run headers. They are not, you can't have both at the same time. Brad, you don't need neutral balance shafts. You're fine.
Yeah, for Gundam. Honestly, no. My ATSV is not my favorite car. My stupid Sonic RS is my favorite car. Like,
they're good cars.
I can't help it. Like, I'm not gonna jump on the box, but I do have to say, like, having a small zippy car with an amazing power to weight ratio, like, it's so very underrated.
Oh yeah.
Like, you might have a dream of I'm not saying an ATSV is a McLaren, but, like, you might have a dream of owning a McLaren, but, like, if you bought that McLaren, it might not be your favorite car.
Yep.
There's a lot of responsibility that's attached to it. And, like, you know, I blew up my ATSV, you know, and it's like, ouch, you know,
it hurts.
It's expensive. It happens, you know, and it's frustrating. And, like, every time you floor it, you think about that. And it's like, it's a lot of money. And like, the Sonic is cheaper. It's a paid off car. Mm-hmm. It's a car I bought cash and like modded with cash. Like
a replacement 1.4 you can get for $500. A replacement LF4, you're buying another Sonic.
Yes.
For that engine.
And I think, like, Randy, Tyler and I, Tyler V and I, like, we kind of are a big fan of the S-Boxes.
Yeah.
We love our X-Boxes. Like when you have an S-Box, like, there is a level of enjoyment because his car is too nice. Like, T-Span's car is too nice to call an S-Box. But, like, there is an unexplainable enjoyment to having that car. This paid-off car that you pay for mods with cash. Mm-hmm. If you break it, it's not really that expensive to fix. Like, you can beat the heck out of it with no guilt.
Yep.
Like, I can't take my ATSV on a road course anymore because I feel bad about the stone chips on my windshield and the stone chips on my paint job.
And the amount of tires you're putting on
the
car.
The amount of tires, man. ATSVs, that's a 3,800-pound car that makes 680 wheel horsepower. You go to a road course. You go to a road course, you do one lap, and you do a cool-down lap. You do one lap, you do a cool-down lap, or your tires are gone in one 20-minute session. You can go through over $1,000 in tires.
Yep. That's insane.
So, sorry, that was a soapbox. My Sonic is my favorite car. Kind of crazy.
I'm going to grab Mr. Kish's question. My Buick's doing great.
Yeah.
I replaced the diff. I took it out off-roading a couple weekends ago. It was a great
time. You're taking it off-roading tomorrow at Pre-Runner Invasion.
We'll see.
I already told you.
I would really like to.
He's coming out with me.
But I'm going out with Tyler for his birthday.
No, me and Randy are just going out.
It's just him and me. It's not his wife or my wife. We're just hanging out.
That's fair.
Can you do that after you go to Pre-Runner? Can you
we have reservations.
I have a 5-seater truck. Do you? No, you can ride with Randy or me.
It would be weird if me and Randy went out by ourselves to play in the mud. All right,
that's true.
No, you could play in the sand with me.
We could just put the Buick in the back of the F-150.
Yeah,
just
right. You could drive it. Drive it that way. The Buick's doing great. It's the cheapest side by side I've ever purchased. I love it.
What are we talking about? Tim, what are you doing this weekend?
Yeah, thank you.
Pre-Runner Invasion of Silver Lake.
Sweet.
Doing truck stuff, you know, jumping.
Keep an eye on those tailpipes.
Yeah. What tailpipes? Dune truck.
Oh, you know.
Do not know what Mike is talking about.
For everybody who did piece it together, today's actually my birthday.
Yep.
Yay! Happy birthday, Tyler.
Yeah. Thank you. So tonight, maybe dinner. We'll see how I feel when I get home. Tomorrow we're going out. I got to spend some time with some good friends.
And then we'll also be there.
And Sunday's going to be some recovery.
Oh, okay.
Saturday's going to be a day.
It's going to be a full day. Tyler, what are you doing?
Tomorrow I got to mow the lawn, you know, some
that's what you're starting with.
Yeah.
That's what you're starting with.
Just a little clip. Going out for T-Span's birthday, and then Sunday we are going to Flint and visiting my mom.
Yeah.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, everyone.
Mother's Day. Don't forget, this is your reminder.
Yep.
TFI.
TFTI.
Randy? So I have old man stuff as well. I have to mow our yard.
Yep. See,
we have a very small dog, and I lose him in the grass. I'm gonna do that.
Small dog.
I'm gonna clear some trees.
He's like swimming through the grass.
He's just so small. I'm gonna do that and clear some trees because I'm putting up a fence at our house.
Nice.
T-Spain's birthday stuff. 1-4 engine stuff, and hopefully engine and car next week.
Whoo!
All right, we'll have two green sounding stuff.
You see the T-spring? Yeah. Got a spring neck.
Mike is getting there.
That's been in the chat all
Mike's
week.
Feeling spicy today.
So to explain Mike's comment there, the other day I went to the gym without properly stretching, and I sprained a muscle in my neck, and I have been on like 60% mobility for like the last 3 days.
I've
been
stopped hanging out with Jim.
This is why we don't go to the gym.
Jim's kind of mean.
How old are you?
So physically, I've made 32 trips around the sun.
See,
if that ain't
physically, I'm probably about 60.
You gotta stretch, man.
If that ain't the pot calling the kettle black, we'll see you guys next week.
Have a good weekend, guys.
It's too hot in here.